This call may be recorded. Hello? Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hey, Mommy.
Hey.
How's it going?
All right. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm working on taxes.
Oh, okay.
On the checking on you, see if you're doing a little better.
Okay, I'm doing better.
Good.
I got to get up super early tomorrow to go to my pre-op or, pre-surgery testing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
When is your surgery again?
April 13 or 15 or something. Basically, it's a month away. And the rule is that your testing has to be done at least 3 weeks ahead of time.
Really? I think they'd want more recent info on you.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm not a doctor. All right.
Yeah.
That's good. As you're getting that done.
Yeah.
The other thing I did yesterday was I sent my Dr. Cop report to Megan and Ted.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Cool.
They did not say anything.
Thank you. Well, it was a weekend, right?
Yeah.
They're not normally even on campus on the weekends, right?
No, they're not.
Yeah. I would think they have to be pretty strict about those kinds of boundaries.
Yeah.
Our Comcast price just keeps going up. We're at like $70 a month at least. Which is ridiculous. Yeah, can you hear me?
What's that? Oh, there we go.
I said our Comcast bill just keeps going up. I think we're like at least at $70 a month. And I mean, I know that you can get through to the retention specialist and everything, but I think that we have been such loyal customers that we're at the point that we're not going to get it again unless we leave and come back.
Okay.
Just because, you know, the retention formula.
Right.
Unless you wanted to go down to like 15 meg download speed, but I don't feel like that is as wise as switching to ATT, and ATT might even have fiber optic for cheaper. And I know you've always complained that you can't do without the Comcast hotspots, but
yeah.
it's my understanding that you can get your hotspots from Verizon just fine, and there's no reason that you have to rely on Comcast hotspots.
Yeah, I mean, I still have my mom's service, but you're right. For now.
Okay.
Should be all right. Be a good time to try it.
Okay. Do you have minimum requirement?
It's mostly just a decent upload speed, but...
But we're not using that
I'll
right
try...
now.
Yeah, we're not right now, so I just get whatever. If we need to change it, it'll...
I mean, would you rather me go to Comcast 15 meg download, or would you rather me try out ATT?
No, let's try the...
Okay.
Yeah, I'd try it. Be a good time to try it.
And do you specifically already know whether they have fiber optics on our street?
I don't know.
Okay.
But if they do, I'd be inclined to try that over regular DSL.
Yeah.
My office subscription expired, and I was really thinking I was going to have to go ahead and buy it again, obviously asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just use it all the time, but I got a 1 month free trial for now.
Mm-hmm.
I think before I had the business version, but I could probably get the personal version, but it's like $100 a year.
Yeah. Well, how come I use Office and I don't have to pay for it? What is that?
You probably signed in under my account, and it's probably about to drop you. Or maybe that new computer you got comes with it, in which case maybe I can use that, too.
For free? A computer might come with it for free?
Well, probably like a year or so.
Okay. Would that be your guess?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to look at it.
I mean, is there a reason you don't like just use Linux at this point?
Yeah, because all my financial stuff is on.
You have to keep the door
Windows.
Closed. Hey, buddy. No, baby.
And I use Office at work.
Close the door. Yes, I see you, buddy. I love you, buddy. Close the door.
Because QuickBooks runs on Windows, and I port data in and out of Excel a lot, and I use it at work, and it works on OS X. There's free versions that started on Linux that I tried to install on Windows and use instead, but it's just not going to cut it for real use, for me at least.
Hold on. What, buddy? Not right now, buddy. I'm on the phone. Good job. Good job. Sorry about that. They're
okay.
Just playing, really.
Basically, I tried to use a free version, and it just isn't adequate. Plus, Office goes on Windows and OS X, and I use it for home and work and on my phone.
So do all of your coworkers have to pay for a subscription separately?
If they're going to use it, they do.
Okay.
A lot of our internal stuff is on Google.
And you're not considering switching to Google Apps?
I think you have to pay for that, too, and I'd just as soon stick with Office if I'm going to pay for it.
Okay. Well, usually companies that size just get a group license.
Yeah, I think we do have that.
So you're saying you can use their Google. You're saying you could use their Google apps for stuff that's work related, but you wouldn't use it for stuff that's personal because when you quit working there, you would need all your files in a format that you're going to keep using.
Yeah.
Okay.
there's just a practical part of it too. I've been using the same software my whole life, and get in a new one and try and do something, and it takes forever.
Hold on just a second. Alright, sorry about that.
That's okay. Don Bennett posted on Facebook.
What?
No, I watched it from home.
Oh, you were on the Facebook live stream?
Yeah.
Me too.
Sean Bennett posted on Facebook a Disneyland tweet. Due to health concerns, we encourage you to enjoy the Disneyland experience from your home by eating sugar and inviting a baby over to screen.
Aww.
To get started, just shred $300. I guess I'll get back to doing taxes, Mommy. I miss you. I'm sorry, did you need something else?
No, it's just, yesterday, you treated me rather inappropriately.
How?
When we were discussing, the way that your mom is, sharing money with you.
What did I do wrong?
And, well, I mean, moreover, what's odd is that when I'm trying to communicate with you about it, instead of having genuine concerns for me and my needs and my thoughts and my concerns and my questions, instead you had some strong emotions and you allowed those emotions to drive your decisions about what kinds of things you were going to say to me.
Sure that I agree with that.
And when I became uncomfortable with the conversation and said that you were going to need to leave, instead of saying, okay, well, I enjoyed spending time with you today, or is there something that I could do to make you more comfortable with my presence? Instead, you said, great! In an almost creepy, maniacal smile kind of great. It wasn't a sincere kind of great. And then you say, are there any other false statements you'd like to make about me? Which is accusatory.
And the statements you made about me.
I'm just telling you that your demeanor towards me was inappropriate for a man who loves a woman. It was emotionally
your
punishing
towards me was inappropriate.
I know that you didn't
be lying when they're not lying.
Dustin, you do. You lie a lot about your conversations with your mom. You've had lots of very detailed conversations with your mom. And when we talk about the nature of those conversations, you're intentionally vague, to the point of saying that you have no idea what she knows and you have no idea what she thinks. When you know,
I don't know what she thinks, and that's a 100% undeniable fact, because I am not her. I do not know what
I understand that you're not her, and that's a good excuse for you.
What she thinks,
for you,
I'm always
being able
to
hide.
I don't know what she thinks. I'm not her.
Being able to hide the nature of your conversations, I'm sure that that's like
a cute little logic.
It is. It's a cute little logic game you can play. I have no idea what's in her mind, even though you've spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on the phone with her the last 6 months, saying horrific things about the mother of your children and allowing her to get away with saying horrific things about the mother of your children, knowing that she's spreading horrific things about the mother of your children to all of your extended family and relatives.
I have no idea if that's true or what she would have said.
You do. You know for 100% certainty. You know.
No, I don't.
You do. You know. You know based on what Madison texted you. You know based on the Facebook comments that your relatives from Alabama have sent
you.
What
does that
have
to do with
my mother? You know that your mother has been speaking to them. You know that. And you know what your mother thinks about me because she's told you on the phone, and she's told you in text messages, and she's told you in emails.
It has nothing to do with me lying to her or lying to you.
That you're being evasive towards me in talking about the nature of
your... towards you. I gave you 100% accurate answers to your questions. There was no lying.
No, there were lots of things that you chose to say I don't know about when you could have told me about your conversations with your mom. It was a choice you made.
Not having conversations with my mom.
That's not true. There had to be a conversation or written communication from her in order for you to know what you're allowed to spend her credit card on. That conversation happened. So you can't tell me that you don't know. You could be open and honest.
I don't know what.
And you could describe the conversation to me, or you could be intentionally
evasive. You asked me about that and I told you.
No. You didn't describe the conversation at all. You just pretended to magically. You pretended to magically know what you're allowed to spend on, and pretended that there were no conversations that went into that or related to that in any way.
What?
You pretended to magically know what you're allowed to spend money on.
I did not pretend to magically know anything.
While refusing to describe to me any of the conversations that led to that being the case. That's the truth. And you don't need to
insult me. I don't remember the conversation, and I told you what she said I could spend it on. I didn't hide that.
I know I drugged it out of you. I know. I was the one who had to keep asking question after question after question to get to the bottom of it when you were giving intentionally evasive answers. I know. I was there. I'm the one who did that. But I'm saying that your decision to be angry at me about it, and your decision to emotionally punish me, and your decision to be sarcastic with me, and your decision to accuse me, that was uncalled for. I didn't
understand
that.
Do you understand that there's a pattern that everything that you do is fine and everything that I do is uncalled for?
Yes, Dustin, I'm waiting for you to understand that.
I don't understand
that I owned 100% of the problems in our relationship for 17 years? Do you understand that? Do you understand that for you to abuse me and then say, everything's always my fault and nothing's ever your fault, is a manipulation tactic to make me stop and own your stuff? And it's worked for 17 years.
I'm not the one accusing somebody of lying that's not lying.
It doesn't work anymore.
I'm not going to say, you're right, I'm lying when I'm not lying. I'm not going
to
do that.
I didn't ask you to say, you're right, I'm not lying. I gave you examples of what you could say when I am feeling uncomfortable with the way I'm being treated, and I tell you that you probably need to go. You don't need to be haughty.
And you've also told me, well, if you ever decline to go, then that will make me feel unsafe, and then that will be abusive.
I know, but you don't need to smile and... You don't need to smile and say, great, and then continue to sit there and then finally say, are there any other false statements you'd like to make about me? Like, that's not a way to treat a person. If you're recognizing that I'm not comfortable with your presence, like, you could care and be gentle. You could understand that I wouldn't be asking you to leave if I was enjoying the way that I'm being treated. That's a pretty important clue.
I'm sorry you did not enjoy the way that I treated you.
No, what I enjoy is not, that's not what you need to own.
No.
You need to own that you got defensive. You need to own that you were intentionally evasive with me. You need to own that you were
I wasn't evasive
wanting,
with you at all.
Wasn't. You need to own, that's what you can apologize for. You can't apologize for me.
You can't apologize for something that I didn't do.
Yes, you can, Dustin. Yes, you can.
I'm not going to apologize for something I didn't do. I'm not going to do that. I am sorry that you...
Dustin, you started the conversation by telling me that you starve at work.
For that. Okay. So,
The whole conversation is me being a detective, trying to figure out what limited information you're giving me from your answers to piece together the truth. That's not how it should be. Like, from the get-go, you were defensive about it because you don't want to have to own how you're spending money and the fact that you have an addiction that is crippling.
Spending money on food?
Dustin, I mean, I know you've got to be spending more than $5 on a meal. That's insane. That's insanely insane to be spending $5 on a meal. You're not rich. You're not making six figures. You're not your mom. You're trying to live your mom's lifestyle. She's the one making the big money when you have squandered your family's wealth and you are not putting food on the table for your own children. You're not able.
I do not agree with that at all.
You're not able to feed your own children right now. I understand that there's equity in the houses because of the gift that my parents gave us and the savings that I had from when I was a small child for that first down payment. I recognize that we have significant investments for retirement, and that's in real estate. But if you set that all aside and you look at the money that you've earned, there's been so much loss.
Oh.
You shouldn't be living like somebody who has provided for his family and then has extra on top of that for luxury fast food. That's your mom enabling unhealthy impulse buying decisions. People who are in the financial situation that you are in should be having to plan ahead and get up early enough to make their turkey sandwich. No cheese. That's just cause and effect, sowing and reaping. And I understand that you don't want to hear these things or have these conversations, and that's why you instinctively clam up and get defensive.
No, I don't want to have them because I don't agree with anything that you're saying. So
I know,
no reason for us to be arguing about this. I've already agreed to your $100 thing.
I know. I just, this is not about, I'm not complaining about how you're spending your money. I'm not. That's not the conversation I was trying to have yesterday. But I'm saying that there are reasons that you instinctively start to treat somebody like dirt when there's something that you don't want them to know about. There's ways that you treat me poorly when we're on a topic that you don't want to discuss. And there's ways that you intentionally...
I was angry because you were accusing me of lying when I was not lying.
I said that because you were not being entirely honest with me. An honest conversation, I wouldn't have had to drag it out of you. You would have volunteered. Well, Mom knows that, you know, I'm in a lot of debt, and she just wants to make sure that I've got plenty of spending money, I guess. Well, Mom said that I could use her credit card for basically anything I need to use it for. But the fact that you were starting off with, I starve at work, like hoping that it wouldn't come out because you don't want to talk about it, you were already having a defensive posture toward me. And the way that you have abused me...
I do not even understand what you're saying. But this, it's got nothing to do with hiding anything.
It is. You were not out to have an honest, open conversation with me.
Why was I talking to you? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm saying that your demeanor changed on a dime. I was trying to be helpful to you. I was asking if you wanted someone to help you come up with a shopping list and meal plan. I was asking if it's easier for you to spend the $100 for the month or if it's easier to have $25 a week. Everything was good. We were on a team. You were open. You were loving. And then when the topic of what you eat when you're at work came off, you changed on a dime to a very different Dustin, who is very familiar to me, who shows up every time you feel defensive. Every time you're worried that somebody might criticize you.
I'm not worried that you're going to criticize me. You do criticize me.
But I hadn't. You decided ahead of time that you were on the defensive.
You're going to.
You decided ahead of time to be on the defensive. These are self-fulfilling prophecies, Dustin. The problem with our communication was not whether I was going to approve of your spending or whether I was going to disapprove of your spending. The problem with our communication is that you were emotionally punishing me and you were being intentionally evasive with me for the purpose of making sure I didn't have an opportunity to express an opinion about your spending habits. But if you don't want me to express an opinion about your spending habits, you can figure out a way to be tender and loving and gentle and patient and kind toward me while you explain that. Erin, I've been, under a lot of stress, and I recognize that we don't have the money, and I'm just so grateful that my mom is letting me keep up the impulse spending, because just like right now, I can't quit vaping.
No, but I don't agree with anything that you're saying.
Well, okay, then whatever the truth is, I don't know what the truth is, because you don't want me to know the truth, but whatever the truth is, you could say, Erin, this isn't something that I feel ready to talk about right now. Can you please just help me come up with the shopping list? Or Erin, I'm not really even up to coming up with a shopping list with you, honestly. Can we limit our conversations to talking about, you know, our kids and our finances right now? But you were intentionally ugly to me because you don't want anybody to say that you were... whatever. I'm saying I had to experience emotional punishment from you. And that's not an okay way to shape... It's not okay to shape your spouse's behavior and train them with emotional rewards when they're behaving the way you want and emotional punishments when they're behaving the way you don't want. Because I'm not a dog and I don't deserve that. And I've been trained like a dog almost since the day I met you.
I'm sorry I wasn't tenderhearted towards you.
Thank you.
Would you still like to help me with a shopping list?
I don't feel safe doing that after what happened yesterday. Because I feel like over the last month, you've been taking all these jabs at me as though it's my fault that you can't actually provide for your own family, and it's my fault that you're supposed to only spend $25 a week on groceries.
Okay, that's all right. I'll figure it out.
And the truth is you could be spending $25 a week on your mom's credit card at Aldi. And I'm scared. Like, that's like a critical thinking type of skill and a financial planning type of skill and a household economics type of skill. You know what I mean? To figure out, like, how you get the most nutrition without overspending by planning ahead. And I think that engaging in those kinds of conversations with you is going to cause you to want to emotionally punish me for things that aren't my fault, but are just like facts of economics.
All right, honey, I will figure it out.
I know that you want me to believe that I deserved the way that you treated me yesterday.
Not true. I just said I'm sorry. I wasn't tenderhearted towards you.
I know, but you think that I accused you of lying and that was just as bad as what you did. And I just need you to hear from me that I don't believe for one moment that I need to own how you treated me. And I don't believe for one moment.
How I treated you.
Huh?
I do not understand why you think I'm asking you to do that.
I think that you've stated many times in this recorded phone conversation that we have right here that I was doing something wrong by saying that you lied.
That's true.
And I just want you to know that I don't buy that. You weren't being completely forthright with me. You were in your defensive mode. And I'm not going to walk around thinking that I need to be ashamed of myself. For knowing that you're not completely honest with me. I'm not. I'm not going to be ashamed of myself. When you're the one who's more than capable of telling me what the conversations were with your mom.
I have told you my conversations with my mom.
No, you haven't. You haven't. From the beginning, you've been intentionally evasive. My mom's crazy. My mom's getting all whipped up. My mom's, you know, those are all like impressions that you have. the truth is, you're getting your mom all whipped up. The truth is, you're making your mom go crazy about this. Like, the truth is, there's an entire context to all of those long conversations. And that context is largely on your shoulders and extraordinarily harmful to your children's well-being. That's important for you to know.
I don't agree with you, and I don't really want to argue about it.
It's important for you to know.
I heard you.
It's important for you to know that all the stuff that was in the email that she sent to Nathan, she couldn't have known without you feeding it to her. It's important for you to know.
I told her reality. I didn't tell her.
I know, but no, you didn't. There's so much in there that's not true. There's so much that you fed her that's based on your own delusions.
No, Erin, she wrote that email. Flat. The things that I told her were true.
No.
Blame me
no,
for her. That's
no.
Not
no, there's all, no, that's not true, Dustin. That's not true. It's not possible for her to have come to that without you telling her. It's not possible.
Okay.
Your mother was of the belief that I would only communicate with you to probe for information to use against you.
What?
Your mom wrote that I refused any contact with you except when I was probing you for information to use against you.
Okay, so that's an excellent example of something that I never have thought, said, or given her any reason to think of. She came up with that on her
just
own.
Just a moment. Okay, buddy. She couldn't have come up with it on her own day. She couldn't have possibly known that you and I weren't communicating. She couldn't have possibly known without you telling her that I wasn't taking your phone calls. She couldn't have possibly known that I wasn't taking your texts.
I'm not saying I didn't tell her things that actually happened. I'm saying that you're making me responsible for her characterization of it when I did not do that.
I'm saying that you need to be honest with the fact that those characterizations were going downhill in a way that was severely detrimental to the well-being of your children, and you continued to engage her, and you continued to give a person who is extremely dangerous to your children's eternal souls, you continued to give her information that is highly sensitive, knowing that what she was doing with it was intensely and decidedly evil. For her to know that you had a problem with communicating to me through our family wizard, that's not okay. That's not okay. It's not. Well before that, you already knew that your mother was evil. Well before that, you knew that your mother was against me. Well before that, you knew that your mother was out to convince you that everything that I was doing was immoral and unethical and wrong, and you knew. You knew, and you still chose to tell her, Erin won't talk to me. Erin won't make me communicate through this app. It's ridiculous. You were still engaging.
I struggled with when and what to communicate with my mother, but you understand that that's a different issue and idea than what you started this conversation claiming, which is that, what, I was giving her her ideas. At any rate.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that she has been harmful to you and to us.
But she still is, Dustin. She's still harmful to us. She's still harmful to us. She's continuing to harm us. It's extremely dangerous. It's extremely calculated. It's extremely active. It's extremely evil. And it's still happening right now.
Her
and
big
yes,
worry right now is she thinks that, and I'm sure accurately, talk to her, let her talk to the kids. Is there anything that you want me to say about that? She keeps asking me why, and I keep telling her I don't know.
So what does she say when you say I don't know?
Just so okay. I don't know. But she's sad and stuff.
Well, you say that she's sad and stuff.
I understand when you ask me to, like, remember a conversation that I never remember it.
I don't.
Okay. Well, I never do. She has heartache over it. I can tell you the idea of what it was. I can't tell you what she said. But she calls every time. She says, Aaron never takes my FaceTime calls. You know
do you
why
understand
she's mad
that,
at me.
Do you understand that it is detrimental to your emotional well-being to have to listen to that crap from her?
Yes, Aaron.
Do you understand
my mother,
that that is,
and
that is intentionally evil for her to speak to you that way. It is intensely damaging to your ability to respect me as the mother of your children. It is intensely damaging to your soul to be allowing somebody to speak that way with no boundaries whatsoever.
Aaron, it's my mom. I can't not talk to my own mother. So
I just need you to hear this, Dustin. I need you to hear this, okay? My mother has been in a position that she has had to speak about you over the last 6 months. My mother has been in a position that she has written some letters about you. One was to you back in September, and one was to your mom in December. And neither one of those got delivered because I told her not to. And they were just, Dustin, unbelievably selfless on her part, unbelievably compassionate towards you. Gracious, loving, understanding, in spite of what you've done to me and what you've done to our children and what you've done, you know, in the way that you've kind of spread things around among a lot of people. Even given the situation we have right now, if my mom ever wrote a letter that was half as bad as what your mom wrote. I'm not saying as bad. I'm saying like maybe half as bad. Even if it didn't get delivered to anybody, even if I just found it and it was a draft and she wasn't even planning to send it to somebody, at a minimum, I would probably never speak to her again. And I'm talking about a minimum. There may be much larger repercussions for the relationship between my mom and I beyond me never speaking to her again, but that would be the bare minimum. I would never speak to her again, and she is my mother, who has been amazing to me. There are boundaries that even a parent cannot cross, and there are family relationships in this world that are far more primary than an adult's relationship to their parent. It's not okay, and it's not just not okay for her to write that letter. I know that that letter is evidence of beliefs that she participates in trying to feed you. And in being on the phone with you right now, telling you how her heart is broken because why can't she speak to her grandchildren, is corrosive and destructive to your most primary relationships that God has put you on this earth to protect against everything.
I appreciate your sentiment and what you're saying. I guess I don't understand why you think that because she says it that I somehow agree with her. Like, I haven't been dealing
with her. You're allowing her to continue doing it. If she's allowed to get away with intimating right now,
I don't have a control over her.
She does, because you don't have to stay on the phone. And then you don't have to take her next phone call. And you can make clear to her the reason that you're not speaking is because she hinted mildly that it's your wife's fault that she's not getting to FaceTime her grandkids. And then she understands in the future, if she tries to throw a pity party and make you feel bad like she's a victim of your wife, then she loses her relationship with you, because she doesn't deserve it if she's going to manipulate it in that way.
Honey, I guess
it's your decision.
Understand. She's not saying something that's not correct. You aren't letting her FaceTime with the kids, and that's certainly understandable.
That is horrific. That's horrific that you think it's okay for her to call you and guilt trip you about it and try to get you to feel sympathetic toward her.
That's not what I said.
You think it's okay. You think that she's not a puppet and you can't control her doing that. You think that there should be no boundaries on her trying to emotionally manipulate you when you have as much on you emotionally as you already have. It's not okay, and you don't have to take it. And you should be protecting your wife, and you should be protecting your children by putting boundaries on that kind of communication. And it shouldn't start last week when she was upset about not FaceTiming. It should have started way back in September when you first communicated with her about this, and she first tried to hint that I was not giving you enough time with your kids on Thanksgiving. Like, that was the day for you to be a man and for you to stand up and say, Mom, I'm not going to let you speak about her this way. She is honorable, and she would let me have as much time as I need with the children on Thanksgiving. And she's willing to do what's best for our kids. I'm willing to do what's best for our kids, and we just need you to stay out of it because you have no clue what's best for our kids. If you want to talk to me about my wife that way again, then you're telling me you don't want to talk to me at all, because that's the way it is. I'm not taking it. Like, that should have happened in September. And instead of that happening in September, you've let her poison your mind. You've let her think that you need to do this or that with your lawyer. You've let her think that you need to do this or that with our house, of who lives here. You say, and send me all these disturbing, threatening messages through our family wizard that are really just awful. accusing me of not being willing to work up with you, accusing me of not being willing to get involved in your counseling, accusing me of forcing your hand to fight me in some contract, you know, contracted legal battle, accusing me of not doing what's best for our children, accusing me of making up what's the standard plan when in reality, look at all these statistics from past court cases in Nassau County. I mean, that was all extremely abusive behavior toward me. And you allowed your mom to participate in fueling those delusions that made you feel like you had some kind of right to continue that abuse. There are very real repercussions to allowing somebody that toxic to have your ear.
All right. So what are you suggesting, that we're going to talk to her anymore?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying that, like, what happened yesterday at our dinner table, like, it is related. And the fact that when I start to, like, question, you know, how it came about that she's paying for your Arby's causes you to instantaneously change your demeanor toward me and causes you to instantaneously become defensive. And when I don't deserve to be treated that way, like, I can see the link. I think that when we were sitting with CA the last time and he was giving you all kinds of ideas about what kinds of boundaries you could set with her, and we were both like, oh, we never thought we had a right to tell her, you know, not to visit. And it was kind of like a light bulb moment for both of us. And he was giving you really nice ways that you could word it to her. Mom, I'm really appreciating you helping us financially because that's not something we can do for ourselves right now. And this is such a trying time. And I don't know how we would have even made it this far without your financial support. But we just need to focus all our emotional energy on our own household right now. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to talk to you on the phone more than one time each month. It's just wiped me out way too much to have to keep that many people in the loop. And I'm not going to be able to have you come and visit us more than twice a year. And I wish I could do more, and in the future we'll do more, but right now we just don't have the time or the energy to give. Like, I thought that was a really good idea. And then when we talked, not 30 minutes later that same evening about you calling her, at first it was like, yeah, I'll call her. And then it was like, no, I'm going to wait and call her tomorrow. And then it was, I think we talked about it and there weren't even any boundaries we need to set, right? And it's like facepalm, like, okay, I guess you don't want to set any boundaries with her, regardless of how much it's destroying them.
I told her, which is what CA had said, that she could call me once a week, and that's what she's been doing.
What?
CA had suggested that.
Oh, hold on, just
that
hold
she
on,
could call me.
Hold on. What? A plate? No, just becomes a cycle. Yeah, you told her once a week.
Yeah, which is what CA had suggested.
Yeah.
She's been doing that.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. I didn't honestly remember limiting her visits to twice a year.
Yeah.
I really don't want to tell her that if she's not allowed to come visit.
Yeah.
And I thought that what we had really said was she had to come bring her gifts on birthdays or holidays.
I didn't say that. I heard you say something in Outback, and she said, oh, I thought
no,
that's
I
what
said
I was
that,
going to
I thought
doing.
That's what we...
But you didn't give her any indication of, like, how many items.
that was already stipulated.
What was stipulated was 12 items a year, and you wanted her to have the flexibility to spread those 12 out however she wanted. You had never, ever said that. I know, but you never said how many for the birthday and how many for Christmas. So if you were making a change that you were going from 12 items a year to be spread out however she wanted to gifts need to only be given on birthday and Christmas, then you would need to say each kid can have exactly 2 birthday presents and each kid can have exactly 2 Christmas presents. That's it.
I didn't understand that we weren't being that selective with it. I thought the point was they have to be delivered on a certain day.
So you're saying you think that your mom is capable of deciding whether she's going to do 3 birthday, 1 Christmas, or 1 birthday, 3 Christmas, or 2 birthday, 2 Christmas, based on her past behavior? That's something you think that she can do herself?
I mean, obviously it's going to be up to us to hold her accountable, but I think she's capable of understanding the concept.
So what would you do if she gave Simon 4 birthday presents? I don't understand how you hold her accountable for that.
That comes out of her. This is why I thought we were saying that would come out of her 12.
Yeah.
And she would have 8 left for the year.
You think that she's capable of doing that?
I mean, everybody's capable of doing that. Do I think she'll do it without us holding her accountable? No, but that's why we have a standard, so we can hold her accountable.
It just seems like a very fuzzy standard to me. You're getting overly complicated. And 12 items a year to be
distributed. I thought that's what we said.
It's fine with me. I thought that's what you're wanting to have to enforce. But not an hour after that, you were telling her that she could give them matching Easter outfits. So that's how well that standard
is. I thought we talked about it, and you were saying that you would be glad to have them.
I have nothing to do with any of this. I did not say I would be glad to have them. I said that
I whispered in your ear that she had them, and I was curious if you'd like.
No, it's that it's up to you. It's always going to be up to you, and I will never weigh in. Because that is toxic.
And
your mom has been bashing me to your extended family for years over your gift boundaries. And that needs to stop. It's not okay. It's not okay for you to participate. She asked me at Outback. I know, but you see her ask me at Outback whether I would like Easter outfits. You don't sit there and let her describe them to me in detail where the chambray is. You stop her and you say, Mom, this is not appropriate for you to be trying to go through Aaron on gifts to our children when you know that I'm the one who set boundaries with you. You asked me in the car. I told you I'd think about it. You don't need to bring Aaron into this because I know how you try to blame things on her that have nothing to do with her. It needs to stop. This is my wife, and you're not going to do that anymore.
Thank you. All right, honey, I'll try and do a better job of shielding you from that.
I honestly am starting to question whether we should have let her come into town and spend time with me after what she did in that email. Because I know there's no way for that email to have just been dreamt up overnight. You know what I mean? And we
have long-standing poor opinions of you, or
I'm saying that when you read that email, you wrote Nathan. This is actually mostly all true. LOL.
It doesn't mean that it's all true. Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying there's no reason for me to believe that general sentiment. I mean, you take the whole thing as a whole, right? The general sentiment. Aaron is emotionally abusing and manipulating Dustin. Aaron is trying to ruin Dustin's life. Oh, yeah, it absolutely does. Absolutely. I'm not making
that up.
I
didn't say that.
Well, what?
That's my mother's characterization of you. It's not mine.
I know, but we can't get around the fact that you read it and you said that it was mostly true. And we can't get around the fact that all the information that she used to come up with that characterization came directly from you and solely from you. And we can't get around the fact that you had been spending hours and hours and hours talking to her about this situation for the 3 months prior to her writing that characterization. We can't get around that. That's what actually happened.
I have not been talking to her for hours and hours.
That's not true. That's not true. You had been talking to her for hours. From September, and I don't mean on a single conversation. I mean cumulatively. From September through January. There was hours of communication, and there was hours of you characterizing me to her, and her characterizing me back to you, that were building upon one another, and culminated in this email to Nathan. And I think that for you to say that I was manipulating the church against you, I think that is, but that's consistent with what Dr. Kropp put in his report about you, that you said.
That's Dr. Kropp's characterization of what I said. I didn't say that you manipulated the church against me, and I've never thought that.
That I convinced the McDonald's to kick you out, which is completely false.
I never said that or thought that or anything remotely like that.
But that's what Dr. Kropp got.
Well, you're talking about an hour-long conversation where I had to get a lot of info in, and you got that wrong.
You've said that, like, relative to your conversations with Ted, you know, it was pretty obvious that we were all convincing each other that there was something wrong with you psychologically.
Yes, that is accurate.
And it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not accurate. It's just not.
Well.
It's not. It's not, and I, you know,
I feel like
this
is the first thing that you've struck upon that I've actually said, where we probably do have a disagreement, but
I know, but lately you've been trying to convince me that Aaron accused you of having a psychological problem in front of me, and I'm racking my, but I'm racking my brain, and I'm going, you know what, no, I brought up, you know, psychological concerns, and right in front of you, he said, it's true that, you know, psychology has its merits and things like cognitive behavioral therapy can be of use. But, the heart of the matter is this is a sin issue and God's grace is sufficient and you have to lean into Jesus. I mean, he was so consistent with that. So consistent.
Wow. The words that were said. I don't remember that sentiment at all.
It was nonstop, Dustin. It was nonstop, week after week after week. He was so consistent. This is a sin problem. You're blind to your sin. You've been in sin so long, maybe you don't even see it. This is why we have other people in our lives to help us see what we can't see. And this is all within the context of a time when you were actually lying about your sin and you were actually unwilling to turn away from it. That's all how it went down. It wasn't till mid-December I was scared to even say it because I knew that he doesn't think that we should be turning to psychiatrists and psychologists when what we really need is Jesus and repentance. I was scared to say it. But it was mid-December when I finally was like, at this point, do you think that he might benefit from like a real psychologist? And he goes, oh, he said, I hadn't even told you. Yeah, that was in the letter from the elders. We asked him to get a full medical and full psychological evaluation. And he says, I don't know exactly what would come of that, but, you know, Dustin's, absolutely, there's some things that, you know, we haven't understood about how he's going about things. But for you to characterize that we were, like, feeding that to each other, or he told me that, or somebody was trying to accuse you of something, I
was there when it happened. I was additionally alone with him in conversations where it was discussed. It's just not something that is going to change. I was there.
I can remember. I can remember, like, when you would lie about something that you had said, like, 2 minutes before. And
oh,
me and Al.
I would always ask when you accused me of that for a.
No, it was all three of us. I know, it would be all three of us in the room.
And not a single person would be willing to characterize what was untrue about it.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we quoted you, like, verbatim on words that you just spoke, because it wasn't like a new topic. It was like within the same subtopic of a conversation within 2 minutes. And you just immediately said, I never said that. Because we were trying to, like, question its validity because it made no sense. And as soon as you realized it didn't make sense, you'd say, I didn't say that. And which made sense that it wouldn't make sense because it didn't make sense. But it's like it was bizarre because we were all there and just heard you say it. And it's like, what's going on? And then you would say, we'd be like, we all heard you say it. And you'd say, I know that I didn't say that. And we're like, but you always say that you forget. If you forget so much, how are you know you're not forgetting? And he goes, well, when somebody says that I said something, I just think, does that sound like something I would say? And if it doesn't sound like something I believe or would say, then I know for sure that I didn't say it. And we're like, okay, that makes sense.
You make this accusation against me almost every time we talk.
That makes sense to you, but for those of us who just heard you say the words, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not making an accusation. I'm just telling you that it's what happened. So it's at one of those moments, you know, we're going, this doesn't really make sense. I don't know if that's what you're thinking.
You don't think
of.
That it's a little ironic that you accuse me of that all the time? Or you did, and now that we have our conversations on a recorded line, it's, like, not an issue between us?
That's not true, Dustin. I just told you about when you initially told me I haven't gone to any restaurants. We have a recording of that still. Like, there's been dozens and dozens of times.
There was confusion over the date, Aaron.
Nope, you said I haven't gone to restaurants. And you had been going to lots of restaurants. And no, there wasn't confusion over the
date. I went to one restaurant, Tasty's, and it was confusing.
No, that's not true. You were also going to Taco Bell and Arby's. You don't need to say that was the only restaurant you went to just because it's the only one that you charged out of the account that had your money for gas in it.
What?
You were also going to restaurants every day on your mother's money. But you wanted to make the statement, I haven't been to any restaurants. And I had to say, no, you have been to restaurants. You've been to lots of restaurants. And then you wanted to conflate the whole situation by somehow getting confusion about what date it was. What day did I go to Tasty's? I don't know what day you went to Tasty's. I just see a charge here that says the 24th. Oh, well, that's impossible. You're accusing me of going on the 24th, and I couldn't have gone on the 24th. I was at work. And I said, I'm not accusing you of going on the 24th. I didn't go when you say I went. You were creating a diversion by tricking me into naming the date that it showed up on the card when all along you knew.
I wasn't trying to trick you into the date. We were trying to figure out the date so I could tell you.
Right, but you knew when you went to Tasty's that you had been...
No, I didn't, obviously.
You obviously knew that you were on a budget by CA, because CA put you on the budget on Monday, and you went on Tuesday and tried to only spend $100 on groceries at Publix and accidentally went over $100 at Publix, and then you went to Tasty's on Wednesday, knowing that you were already over budget for the month.
I'm going to tell you, I don't remember that. That's why I'm talking about the date.
But I have a phone recording in which you said I haven't been to any restaurant.
Because I didn't remember, Erin.
But you had been to a restaurant every day. Not just Tasty's. You were using your mom's money to go to lots of restaurants.
She had given me a gift card, I guess. I don't really remember this.
I'm just saying that when
we were obviously talking about the budget, not...
No, we weren't. I have the phone recording, Dustin.
I thought you were concerned about whether I was sticking to the budget you gave me.
That doesn't mean that you say words like, I haven't been to any restaurant, when that's not true. That doesn't mean that you say words like, I went to Tasty's before we set the budget, when that's not true. It doesn't mean you say words like,
I remember going to Tasty's after the
You're accusing me of going on Monday, and I couldn't have gone on Monday, when it's not true that I had accused you of going on Monday. Like, we have a recording, and you were just saying whatever you thought you needed to say in order to not have any ownership. And the truth is, if you had messed up...
Why do you even think that? I don't understand.
It's not... Because I've gone back and I've listened to the recording. I've listened to it.
Yeah, obviously, I got confused about the dates. I do not remember going to Tasty's when I already had a budget, and I don't remember doing that.
This has changed the fact that you did it, and it doesn't change the fact that you told me other lies.
I'm saying that it changes the fact that I did it.
It doesn't change the fact that you told me other lies in addition to somehow completely forgetting that while you knew you were on a budget and already went over your grocery budget, you went to Tasty's. Like it doesn't change the fact that you told me other lies.
Are you talking about going out to other restaurants?
Yeah, you said I haven't been to any restaurants.
Because we were talking about the budget, Erin. I wasn't using our money to go to those restaurants.
You said I haven't been to any restaurants.
It's like shorthand for having a pertinent conversation. You were asking me about our budget.
Okay, well, that's
telling you
that's
that I haven't spent our budget.
That's not how anybody else I communicate with treats the truth. Nobody else thinks that they say words as a form of shorthand. Everybody else I communicate with uses words on the basis of whether the sentence they make is truthful or untruthful. And it's a lot less confusing to keep up with when you just say what you mean and you just say what actually happened instead of trying to come up with some form of shorthand that only you can comprehend.
Uncomprehendable.
It is, because you are translating, I didn't go to any restaurants, which is an untruthful statement. In your mind, you're translating it to something truthful. I didn't go to any restaurants spending money out of my spending budget from our joint funds. Only you could know the rest of it. Other people, they only hear the shorthand, so they only hear the actual words you said, which are actually not true.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And yesterday you told me I starve at work.
I do.
Then you go to Arby's after you feel like you're starving?
Well, Sometimes.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you that you didn't have the foresight to go to Arby's 30 minutes sooner. I mean, you're trying to paint a completely different picture than reality. Hold on just a second. And you are being extremely manipulative in saying, oh, you always accuse me of saying something I didn't say or lying about something I just said. And don't you find it ironic that that's not happening now that we're recording our conversations? Like, you want me to question my own reality of what I experienced?
I just want us to be on the same page so we can get along. That's...
I know.
But all
the truth
I want.
Is that we have recordings already of you admitting that you were in a prolonged state of deception and lying and denial from July all the way through January. And then in order to account for one lie, you had to tell another lie and then another lie and another lie, and it just became this mountain of lies. On the basis of you not wanting people to know that you were cheating on your wife? Like, that's the context in which I'm saying we were in Aaron's office and you denied having said something that you just said 2 minutes ago. It was during that time period when you've already been acknowledged that you were deeply committed to trying to deceive people about your sin. Because you were scared of losing your security blanket relationship. So you don't need to gaslight me into thinking, there's something wrong with me. I always imagine that Dustin's lying. But look, ever since we started recording our conversations, I don't make that accusation anymore. I must have really been just making it up all those times.
And they...
Like, that's not... It's not fair for you to put that on me. That's not fair for you to gaslight me in that way. The actual truth is that you were lying a lot. A lot. You were lying a lot. That's the actual truth.
I lied about my feelings about Julie.
That's not all, though. Like, there were 20 million lies on top of that that had to, in order to support that lie. There were lies about Pepper. There were lies about your
lies
trip.
About
there were lies
Aaron.
About your spending. There were lies all over the place. There were lies. And there were very often lies about what you just said. Because you were trying to defend the indefensible. And that was a really awful thing for me to have to live through. Like, nobody...
I agree.
Deserves to go through the trauma that I went through from July through January? Nobody. But now you're trying to gaslight me to convince me that I imagined half of it.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you are. You want me to believe that I make up that you were lying when you weren't. You want me to believe that I make up that you just said something you didn't say or didn't say something you just did say. That's not fair to me. That's not fair. That's gaslighting. Like, I experience what I experience, and when there's three of us in the room and we all heard you say the same thing and not enough time has passed for all three of us to, any of us to reasonably have forgotten it, that's psychological abuse for you to ask me to question reality that we both experienced together.
You guys were characterizing things as being untrue that were not untrue.
No,
that has nothing to do with
my
feelings about Julie.
I'm talking about when I'm quoting you on something that you said in the last 2 minutes, and you deny having said it. And yeah, it's related to Julie. And so sometimes you have to say something to defend your actions with Julie, but then when you're questioned and pressed on them, you realize it doesn't really make sense to try to defend that. And so then you have to backtrack, and sometimes the easiest way to backtrack is to say you never even said it, but maybe you actually convince yourself that you didn't say it because I don't actually believe that. I would never say something like that, because now that it's been questioned, you can see how it doesn't make sense, and it's not something you believe and not something you would ever say again. So maybe you convince yourself you couldn't have said it because it's not true. But that doesn't change the reality that the people who heard the words come out of your mouth have. And it's not fair to expect people who heard the words come out of your mouth live in a fantasy world where they are expected to behave as though you didn't say it and believe that you didn't say it. That's not okay. And that was my living hell for 6 months. And now you're wanting me to stay there, and now you're wanting me to put on myself. You're wanting me to have some kind of shame that I make it up. You're wanting me to use the fact that you're not lying constantly anymore as a way to make me think that there was something wrong with me for thinking you were in the first place.
No,
like,
Aaron,
you're
I'm
lying
not trying
a lot.
To tell you that I'm not
you're,
lying about something that was a lie.
A lot,
I'm not.
You're lying a lot less, and I appreciate that. But that shouldn't be used to make me question my own reality. That shouldn't be used to shame me into thinking, oh, Dustin doesn't lie very much now, so I must have been making it all up in my mind before. That's not fair. That's not fair.
I'm not saying...
Yeah, you are. You're saying, isn't it ironic that since we've started recording our phone calls, you don't have this problem anymore?
Okay.
As though I was the one who was causing that to happen before the recording?
I did not mean...
You did.
I did not mean for that to... I did not mean for that to imply that all of your historical concerns were invalid, and I apologize.
Okay. I don't know what you possibly could have meant by it, but it was inappropriate.
I love you.
I love you too, but there's just not a future for us together. With you making up these things about Eric Bell.
Not making anything
and
up.
I know you're going to say, well, I can't pretend that he didn't accuse me of having psychological problems when I know he did. And maybe he talked to you about stuff like that after I had moved out of the house and stopped meeting with you. I don't know. I wasn't there for those conversations.
We were still meeting
if he
after
did,
he moved out of the house.
Yeah, but I mean, when I went no contact, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't more than 3 weeks later, I know. I'm saying that when I was in his office with you and Allison in him. All my recollections of psychology coming into the conversation, he was cautiously dismissive of, in that he consistently pointed us back to the gospel.
I never said he didn't point us back to the gospel.
I don't remember a time when he said there's something wrong with Dustin psychologically, or something even like along those lines.
Yeah.
I can remember when, you know, it got to the
entire
point
conversation
where, well,
is
might...
pertinent to that. He routinely would say you're lying or misrepresenting something when I hadn't misrepresented something. It's constant.
No. You were actually lying a lot. Now, there may have been times where we thought one thing was a lie when really the opposite of it was a lie, but you can't blame the people who are being lied to for not knowing which one's the truth. You were contradicting yourself quite a bit.
You can blame them for calling you a liar when you're not lying. Like,
but you were lying
encourage
so
you
much. No, you were lying so much. So if you lie about one thing and then you say the opposite of it, and we accidentally think one of those is a lie when that one's the truth, and we should have thought the other one was the lie, or, I mean, that's not our fault. You were just lying a lot. It's nobody's fault for not knowing which part was the truth when you're lying and contradicting yourself.
I'm talking about cases of contradicting myself. I'm talking.
You
about
are, and then when you.
No, I'm not.
Out,
I'm talking about
yourself.
People making assumptions that were not stated by any party. It's.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. The truth is, Dustin, that you were abusing me. You were emotionally manipulating me. You were harming me. You were being callous toward me. You were hurting me. You were blaming me for things that I did not deserve to be blamed for. You were contradicting yourself. Like, all those things were happening. And everybody around you was responding as graciously as anybody could respond to that dynamic. You were given so much love. You were given so much patience. You were given so much kindness. You were given hope. You were given more hope. You were given more hope, and you were given more hope. And if every once in a while somebody thought you were saying something that was a lie and it was actually true, I don't think you can blame that person. I think there's one person who would be responsible for it coming to that.
And that and it would, the entire substance of all of our conversations with them.
No. That's not true. You were being encouraged to turn to God. You were being encouraged to accept accountability from other people. You were being encouraged to read the Bible. You were being encouraged to spend more time with your family. You were being encouraged to turn away from relationships that were distracting you from your marriage. You were being encouraged to change your work habits to give you more time to focus on your family. You were, and in all of those things, you were twisting things around back on me. Like, you were being encouraged to be more, like, kind and thoughtful toward me. You were being encouraged to stop blaming things on me that weren't my fault. Like, there was so much going on. And at every turn, you were just not making a lot of sense. You were in a pathologically defensive mode, I can see now looking back at it. But I really think there's only one person who can take the blame. I mean, for all the, I don't know what you say, like the confusion and the not knowing what to believe that everybody was experiencing. Like, I feel that's I feel like that's all on you. And if in your meetings alone with Aaron, he did say, like, I do think that there's something going on with you psychologically. At this point, I think you and I both objectively can look at your clinical records and say, okay, at that point in time, that was actually fair.
All right, honey, I gotta think about that before I respond to you.
Yeah, I know. I know, I've had to... think about it a lot, too. I just want you to know that lately I felt like you're throwing it back at him in both directions. Like one minute you'll say it was unprofessional that he didn't get me to a mental health professional sooner because I should have been dealing with a licensed person. And then you'll turn around the next minute and say, he was unfairly accusing me of having a psychological problem. That was unprofessional. And, like, essentially, taking all the best things about I know, I'm saying you're playing both sides.
I feel like those are compatible. No, I think those are
I'm saying on both ends of it, you're trying to cast him in the worst possible light. And in reality, on both ends of it, both poles there represent, I think, the highest level of integrity that somebody could display in that scenario. He was not quick to try to give any analysis of you that would be outside of his, you know, knowledge or ability to comprehend. And he pointed you, like, towards the wisdom of the Bible and towards Jesus, you know, ahead of towards just pathologizing you off the bat. And when the time came that he was concerned for your mental health and concerned for the decisions that you were making and thought that there needed to be additional expertise, like he encouraged you to seek out that type of help. I mean, that's... like, Matt Borer says, like, I don't think that I've ever envisioned myself saying this about any church, but it sounds like they actually know how to navigate something like that. I think that it's extremely, extremely rare. Extremely rare. For a pastor to be able to do that well with something like what we were presenting to him. And I haven't asked him, but my assumption is that he was probably having to consult with some of his professors to know what would be the right direction to point you. But anyways, for me, I think my feeling has been that for a while now, the aim has been to disparage, like, the way that Aaron counseled you.
I'm not disparaging him. I talked to zero people about this.
No, I mean to me. It's to me.
Okay.
Because what you're pursuing right now is you're pursuing a relationship with me in which you don't have outside accountability.
That's not true.
So, it's true.
Oh.
It's true. Because for me, having outside accountability, like knowing that you're a safe person for me to be with, like, that doesn't exist outside of you admitting that all of the guidance that Aaron Bell gave us was professional and appropriate and showed excellent discretion. And he's a person that in the future we will trust his guidance and his judgment. Like, that's unnecessary for me.
Well, I'm not really prepared to talk about this further right now. But thank you for sharing your heart with me.
You're welcome. That makes me really happy.
Love you.
That makes me really happy too.
I didn't take my medicine today.
Oh, what does that mean?
I don't know.
They didn't tell you?
I guess Prozac's okay for that because it stays in your system more than some of the other ones, but probably not supposed to not take it, though.
I mean, like, are you, if you take it now, are you still okay to take it in the morning when you normally would tomorrow?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Filled my prescription again, and every time it's like 5 pill bottles, so it's like I got pill bottles coming out of my ears right now. I have to like consolidate them, but I'm like, should I consolidate them to the new bottles or the old bottles? Probably the new. Is there a downside to that? Not if I don't screw it up.
I wouldn't consolidate.
Why? I don't want 15 pill bottles to sort through every morning trying to figure out what I need.
I would take all the Yeah, I would take all the ones that you don't need yet, and I would put them in, like, a safe. And then I would not get out the next bottle until the old one's empty and I've thrown it away. So essentially you have what you, like, on hand, what you need every day this week, and then you have, like, a, you know, an annex, a reserve for when they run out.
Sounds good in theory, but I don't exactly have a lot of storage space.
Yeah, but you have
Okay,
buddy. Thank you for telling me. Why don't you have to play for 15 minutes, and then I'll put something else on. Okay? Yep, 15 minutes of play. Sam, please don't yell at me. Thank you. Thank you. 15 minutes. 15 minutes. No. I'll come tell you. All right. You guys, maybe you can clean up the living room or something. Got Disney Plus.
Woohoo.
Oh, I just have to give my password. I don't know if that's how it works.
What's that?
Well, I guess you don't really need to be watching movies right now anyways, though, do you?
No.
Well, so far I don't like it.
I was going to say, isn't Disney the one that does all sorts of raunchy craziness now?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't let the kids pick whatever. And, hold on just a second. So what I did was when I first went on there, I just added everything that I want the kids to watch to watch list. So when I open it up, they don't have to see all the garbage that is being featured. I can just click on watch list and they can just see like the whatever 40 things that I've picked out and they can pick from that.
That's good.
But like today, I let them watch something that I had put on the watch list that looked good to me. It was like a sequel to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And like I didn't approve of the content at all when I heard them watching it. It was like Lumiere was planning his 5-month anniversary of his first date with the feather duster. And yeah.
Really?
And trying. Oh, yeah. And so, like, he ended up getting Belle to, like, help him plan how he was going to express his true feelings for her. And he had this whole, like, romantic evening planned out and everything. And, well, somehow the feather duster, like, I don't know what she saw. She walked up and saw Lumiere getting ready for it. And Belle was there. And so she thought that Lumiere was cheating on her with Belle. And she's, like, crying. She's, like, crying and screaming, this was supposed to be my special night. How could he for her? And, you know, ridiculous. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Who writes these shows? What?
Well, but that's the thing with Disney. Like, they get you to trust their brand, you know, because, like, you know Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And it lulls you into this false sense of safety when it's not safe.
Seriously, like, who staffs these places? Like,
oh, gosh.
Who could think that was appropriate for children?
Oh, no. The stuff that they write for, like, the Disney Channel now, it's beyond disturbing. Beyond disturbing. Like, really, really,
it
really
blows
really
my
bad.
Mind that there's that much demand for that. That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You would think, like, in a free market, there would be some sort of self-correction, but I guess people, like, legit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's And the other parents aren't even, like, picking shows out. Like, you know what I mean? Like the whole concept with, like, Amazon Free Time is you subscribe to Free Time, and you can just hand it over to your kids. It's all been pre-screened. It's all kid-appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a great note. I would think about what you said, Mom.
Oh, good. It makes me so happy.
Should probably go so I can take my medicine before I forget.
Okay. Do you need do you need a pill sorter? I use a pill sorter.
Huh. Probably makes more sense than going through all of them every day, huh?
Oh, definitely. Like, I just open up that day, and I just flip it over, and they kind of... So do you take them all at the same time of day, or do you have a p.m. dose?
No, I I have some I can take at p.m., but I don't usually. I might start. I've been waking up in the middle of the night, but...
Oh, you have before bed stuff?
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to throw this out there. Is there any medical or scientific reason that you've been given that you should be sleeping through the night?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I can't speak authoritatively on this, but basically they my understanding is they figured out like your REM sleep has a lot to do with moving memories to like long term memory and processing experiences. So it could be that why my memory is so bad is that I haven't been sleeping well.
Right, but that 3 o'clock wake up would not necessarily interfere with a REM pattern. That 3 o'clock wake up would simply mean that you've completed one REM cycle. And once you go back to sleep, you're going to enter a new REM cycle.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? There's, I don't know that there's evidence that a middle of the night wake up, I mean, it can't be interrupting a cycle. That's not how the cycles work. You know what I'm saying?
The nutrition gal at Honey Lake said that the very, very end of your sleep cycle, if you sleep through the night, is where you get, like, the most restful sleep.
Right.
So if you go to sleep, like, I forget what she said. It's something like if you go to sleep an hour early, it's equivalent of getting, like, 2.5 hours of actual sleep because you accrue that at the end.
Yes, that's absolutely true. But that is within a context where you're presuming that an alarm goes off at 5:30 a.m.
Right.
So that you would need like an external source to wake you up in the middle of a cycle.
Yeah, but I'm doing that.
But a natural biological wake up, like your body wakes itself up, whether it's in the morning or whether it's in the middle of the night, that natural wake up is an indication that you've completed a cycle.
Well, maybe.
And I say this because of my, mother infant sleep study, analyses.
Sure.
And it seems like you're falling asleep well early in the evening, like you've never had in the past.
Yeah.
So I view that.
Silly.
Yeah, I just mean overall. If you're able to put away your electronics and you're able to get in bed by 9:30 and you're able to lie down, even if you don't actually fall asleep until 10:15, and even if you have one wake up in the middle of the night, that's still good rest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't strike me as something worrisome that you need to medicate over. Like, don't you remember that article from a couple of years back, with all that anthropological and literary evidence that it used to be considered universally normal to wake up in the middle of the night for like 45 minutes? Did you read that one?
No, I don't.
It had all these examples from like letters that people wrote each other like 200 years ago, and books that people wrote like 200 years ago. Like they had terms for it. Like they would call it first sleep and second sleep. And they would when they woke up in the middle of the night, they would like light a candle and like read a book, or they would like, that would be a time that they would like talk to their spouse about what happened the day before and like bond and converse. And it was just like completely expected normal part of life, because doesn't everybody wake up in the middle of the night?
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think it was only after in the invention of electricity that the invention of electricity caused us to start staying up past like sunset. Like it would get dark outside and we'd just stay up because we have electricity. And once you start doing that, you're having to condense your need for 8 hours of sleep into 8 hours.
Right.
Whereas before electricity was invented, if you're going to sleep because the sun is down, you don't need to get all your 8 hours of sleep in 8 hours, or else you'd be getting up at like 4 a.m. unnecessarily. So you can sleep from like 8 p.m. until 1 a.m. and then wake up for an hour and then sleep from like 2 to 6. And that seems to possibly be like how your body was designed to work.
Yeah, you'd be right. Okay.
The trick is, when you wake up, are you able to be there with your own thoughts without having to get out your phone?
I mean, Oh, you mean in the middle of the night?
Yeah, about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You feel like you just lie there for like an hour?
Yeah, or less.
Oh. Because that, honestly, doesn't that seem like an extraordinarily healthy thing to do?
Maybe.
In between your REM cycles is like consciously think of your memories that you're moving around and consciously process the things that your brain's been working on while you've been sleeping.
Yeah, probably so.
Like,
and I have
been
remembering my dreams more.
Yeah, and you would be more likely to pray during, like, you know what I mean, from 3 a.m. to 3:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Then you'd be able to pray if you tried to do it, like, when you went to bed at 9 p.m. Because, you know what I mean, your brain's just more relaxed and willing and able. I don't know, that's just my thinking.
You're so smart. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's smarter, me or Megan?
You're a Megan?
Yeah.
Probably you. She's pretty smart, though. You would have liked her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess her husband does something at the Church of 1122.
Yeah. Kids got up before me today.
What's that?
The kids got up before me today.
Oh, yeah?
Lucy came in, and she looked real suspicious, smiling ear to ear. She lifted up the blanket by my feet, and she slid a paper under. She slid a paper under the blanket, and she ran away.
And she ran away?
Yeah.
It was basically an advertisement for Dufo Church. But it was like...
It was like a crazy advertisement. Like, it went all out. Like, to show you. Kids will play instruments. Music. La, la, la. Like, pictures. On the
That's awesome.
Yeah. I guess she was fully bought into the idea that this is the Lord's day if we're quarantined.
Slipped it in by your feet.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they're funny.
Oh, yeah. All right, so it sounds like you could use a pill sorter. It sounds like you don't need a PM slot on it. You can keep the, PM pills you can keep in a, like, convenient location if you think that you're going to need them a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
But if you're noticing that you go a week without needing them at all, you can put it in the archives or whatever you want to call that, wherever you're going to keep your extras of stuff you haven't run out of your first bottle of yet.
Yeah.
So how many pills do you take each morning? I'll get you a sorter.
I think I'm up to 4 now.
4 and,
Oh, plus 2
they,
vitamins, though.
Are they large?
No, they're not super large.
Are the vitamins the gummy ones, or are the vitamins the hard swallow ones? Because I don't know how well the gummies will do if they're in there up against, like, capsules and tablets and stuff, getting them moist.
Okay, that's all right. Because separate.
So the 4 pills are large or small?
There's 2 little ones and 2 medium ones.
Okay.
All right. All right, hon. I love you.
All right. Love you too.
Hey, Dustin.
Talk to you later. Yeah.
Can you just finish the taxes tonight? Like, just be done?
I'm trying. I started playing faster and looser with it.
Okay.
I think I might need TurboTax Business 2019, though. I didn't remember that some of that project carried over into 2019.
You need what?
TurboTax Business 2019.
Oh.
I thought I didn't need it because I thought it was all wrapped up in 2018, but he ended up
Tammy
and Dax Beach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Hey, has Dad talked to you about that this week?
No.
I think he wants to.
Okay.
Because he's filing it himself, you know.
Okay. Sure. I should be able to do that.
I think for 2020, we might need to be married filing individually.
Why?
I think that's what I put on, like, my Medicaid applications that I would be doing.
Okay.
Do you know anything specific I need to look into about that? Does that strike you as impossible with the joint rental income?
That's true. It'd be a lot more work. I wouldn't worry about it, honestly. I know that there's tax disadvantages. Yeah.
You're saying on your end, you think that we should just file jointly?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to get back to work. I love you.
All right, love you too. Bye.
Bye.